you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to know that you are here, to know that you will not leave us nor forsake us, to know you gave us a promise, your pillar fire will lead us to the millennium. And Father, we just thank you, O God, for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word, the shout, the message which you brought. And we commit all of these things back into thy keeping, O God. Having heard and having recognized, help us, O God, to act upon your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sunday we just looked at the attributes that Jude mentioned concerning the natural man, the unregenerate man that has not the Spirit of Christ. Although the book of Jude might appear a bit on the heavy side, yet it is what the Scripture says, and it is the Word of God. So I have no apologies for speaking tough where God speaks tough, speaking mercy and grace where God's Word speaks mercy and grace. And so this evening we're going to look at more attributes of both the true vine and the false vine, and we're going to do comparison between these two vines. The important thing for us to know is what does the Word of God say about these identifiable characteristics of both seeds, because otherwise, if we do not know, we open ourselves up for being deceived. But the reason the bride will not be deceived is, first of all, she has the Holy Ghost. And she believes and accepts all the Word of God, including what it shows concerning the two vines. But it all comes down to whether you are actually born again or just having a religious spirit. Therefore, let's look at an attribute this evening, which both born-again believers share. Which all born-again believers share, and that is all who are ordained to eternal life believe. In fact, that is what we hear the Word of God tell us in Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. We also find William Branham say the same thing in his sermon, Perseverance. He said, now perseverance is to be persistent, to try to make a goal, you've got your mind set on something and you're persistent in it because you believe it's the thing that you want and you believe that you can get it. Now, pardon me, to be persistent, you've got your mind made up now that what you're going to do. Now you cannot have faith in God without knowing the Word of God or knowing something about God. Now, something told you if you go touch that post, you'll get well, you're sick. Now, I wouldn't believe that. You might do it, but that's just a little too strong for my faith. I don't believe there's any virtue in that post, no more than I believe that there's virtue in a statue or a monument or a crucifix or something like that. I believe the virtue is in Christ, and Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the Word itself comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit into us, and it's Word in you, God in you. So many wants to point God to some mystical something way out, way away, or so far away they overreach it. God is in you. The hope of glory, Christ, the mind that was in Christ is in you. You're reaching plumb away from it, trying to get what's been given to you, God in the human being. Now, what he's talking about here in this particular quote is, he say, you know, people want to go mystical with God and make him some great mysterious thing, and so they can kind of search into these things, and maybe by knowing a little bit of something in this mystery and you don't know it, you know, then they've got something on you. But listen, they don't have anything on God. Brother Brown said, God is not way out there someplace. God, his Spirit, is in you. The Word, God is the Word, he's in you. Now, the other thing he mentioned here is, he said, now you cannot have faith without God, without knowing the Word of God or knowing something about God. A lot of people say, well, all you have to do is believe. That's all you have to do. Well, if you don't know what you're believing, how can you believe it? Just because you call it belief is not belief. Belief is knowing. Now, from questions and answers, conic to order and doctrine, Brother Brown said, at the instant of receiving the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is there a difference, is a question given to Brother Branham. Does a person speak with tongues? If not always, what manifestation is known? Well, could you imagine a mother giving birth to a baby and not knowing it? She'd have to be unconscious not to know it. Neither can you receive the Holy Ghost without knowing it. There's something takes place in you, see? There's something that changes you. Your whole system, your whole spiritual system is made new again, and you become a new creature in Christ, as the Bible puts it, a new creation in Christ, and you know it. Now you say, well, Brother Branham, then you don't believe that a man could, should speak with tongues to receive the Holy Ghost, not to prove that he's got the Holy Ghost. Again, let's look to the Word of God, 1 John 2 and 20. He says, but you have an unction. That means you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, there's two things I'd like to look at here. If you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, then that holy anointing will live a holy life. And you will know all things. So there's two things here. Like Brother Bram said, you can say that you spoke in tongues when you received the Holy Ghost. You can say that you shouted, but he said, let me look at your life, and I'll tell whether you have or not. Now, he's not saying the life is the evidence, but he's saying it's an evidence. It's not the evidence. The evidence is the knowing. Because 2 Corinthians tells us specifically that unless you have the Holy Ghost, you cannot understand the things of God. You can talk about God. You can have all kinds of claims on God and toward God. But unless you're born again, you'll not know. Notice you have an anointing and you know it, he says. Not only do you know it, that you have it, but you will know all things because that is the promise. Only those with the Holy Ghost will know the things of God. John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we know from what God's vindicated prophet taught us that to see means to understand. As Brother Bram says in Seeing God, he says, how blind a person must be that he can't see life. And think that many people doesn't see life. Now, we might see it, but the word see doesn't mean to look at it. The word see means to understand it. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, in other words, you're looking at something and you say, I don't see it. You mean that you don't understand it. You see, to see, what we call see, that's to look at. But to see in Bible terminology is to understand what we're looking at to be revealed. And we assemble together like this that Christ might be revealed among us. Therefore, unless a man is born of the Spirit of God, he cannot even understand the things of God. And notice the other seed not only cannot understand the things of God, but according to Jesus himself, they do not even have a place for the word in them, as we hear Jesus tell the Pharisees in John 8 and 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. In 1 John 4 and verse 5 and 6, we read, they are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world will hear them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So he's letting us know this is twins. Spirit of truth, spirit of error. Again, 1 John 2 and 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you, twins again, those that went out because they might manifest that they weren't of us, and then you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So John says the very purpose for my writings is for those who believe. It's not for the unbeliever. This message is not for the unbeliever. The Apostle John gives us many of our comparisons between the two vines, as we see in John chapter 3, verse 17 to 20, where we are taught that the elect children of God love the light and come to it and walk in it, but the children of darkness cannot stand to walk in the light. They are like the creepy things of this world that hide in the dark during the daylight, but come out at night so they can do what they do by nature without being seen. In verse 17 we read, for God sent not his only Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that word wrought means that they have their source in God. So if you are doing the things which you know that God wants you to do, the Bible says that, you know, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And if you're doing the works of Christ, in many, many aspects to that, we covered, I think, 37 one time. We went through 37 different things that were called the works of Christ in the Bible. And as you perform those in your life, you want the light to expose whose source those are from. But those who would do things in hiding, just like we read the other day about, you know, how those that would work, those that would prey upon others, those that would do things that were, it says that they will creep in unawares. The word creep, you know, is a stealthy thing. They don't want anybody to know it until they pounce upon it and do their deed. And they don't want you, they don't want the light. In fact, they hunt best in the dark. Now let me read you from the translation called The Voice. I think it's very appropriate. No one who believes in him has to fear condemnation. Yet condemnation is already the reality for anyone who refuses to believe because they reject the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why does God allow for judgment and condemnation? Because the light sent from God pierced through the world's darkness to expose ill motives, hatred, gossip, greed, violence, and the like. Still, some people preferred the darkness over the light because their actions were dark. Some of humankind hated the light. They scampered hurriedly back into the darkness where vice thrives and wickedness flourishes. Notice, you go down to anywhere, you know, you go into the inner city, and all the vices take place in darkness. All the gambling establishments, all the prostitution, and all the ill-gotten gains, all the drug deals and everything else. They don't stand there in broad daylight and hand over the coke to, you know, cocaine to another guy. They do it behind a car. They do it out of the light. Everything flourishes in the darkness because they are people of the dark and their deeds are dark. From the mark of the beast, Brother Bram said, the sun rises in the east at the beginning of the dispensation of grace, and now the sun is setting in the west on the western people. We are the Western people. And he promised that there would be a revival and there would be light in the evening time, and they're here. The light's a shining and darkness comprehended it not. And that's it. Men love evil deeds better than they do good deeds. But it's just fixing to drop over the horizon yonder, and what little light we've got, hold on to it. That's an admonition. Hold on to it. Look, it's the same sun that rose yonder on the Jews are setting here on the Gentiles. All through the age here, through these 2,000 years, they had this and that, and organizations and dispensations and this and that, and the people don't know where they are standing. And I'm telling you tonight that we have both seeds, both true vines, right in the message, and the ones who are elect, they know where they're standing because they stand on the word. The ones who are non-elect have their own imaginations, they have their own ideas about what things are, and they go haywire. Because there is a way which seems right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Now from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their own understanding darkened. They become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Notice their hearts are blind, which produces ignorance, which alienates them from the life of God. And read it again. Having their understanding darkened. They become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Their own ignorance upon what took place in 2,000 years ago, what took place in this hour. Their own ignorance blinds them and thus alienates them from the light and the life. who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, just what Jude said, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, this is the way they think it's okay. But he said, no, you have not so learned Christ the way that these people go. To whom shall we go? Brother Branham said, if you are born again, we are the children of the day. The children of the world walk in darkness. They walk at the nighttime. They love darkness. The Bible said people love darkness more than they do light, because the light would manifest their deeds. Let the sun come up, and every old lizard, every old bug, insect of the dark kingdom crawls at night, will take under something. That's the same way when the gospel light begins to shine, every little deed will try to crawl under something. So we see the elect coming to the light and not walking in darkness. In Isaiah 16, verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. In Psalm 56 and 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Psalm 89 and 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And 1 John 1:5, verse 5 to 7, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if you're not walking in the light, there's no cleansing. The blood is not cleansing you. The blood is not efficacious for you. Now, notice the other seed. The other vine will not come to the light, and they won't hang around it if they find themselves in it, and they will try to keep others from it. In Matthew 23:13, we read, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. So you look at the difference. One tries to get everybody in, wants everybody saved. And the other, we've got the special thing. Don't bother. Don't go. It's fanaticism. Romans 1:18, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, it's revelation to revelation, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, that means ungodlikeness, and the unrighteousness of men, the unright wiseness of men, who hold the truth in unright wiseness. In other words, they hold it down. The Greek word is kateko, and it means they hold down the truth, they suppress it. They do everything they can to stop it. John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And that's the main thing with people walking in darkness. They've got their own ideas, they've got their own theories about everything, and they're wrong. They're just wrong. There is a way which seemeth right to man, the way thereof is the way of death. God's word cannot be broken. He says, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. And Isaiah 15, verse 11, behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. Now the NIV reads this way. But now all of you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your own fires and of the torches you have set ablaze, This is what you shall receive in my hand. You will lie down in torment. Now, it reminds me of what Brother Branham said. They say, well, we've got the light. We've got light. And he said, no, people of the darkness have artificial light. That's why they have to turn on light. We have light in here tonight because it's dark outside. This is artificial light. But the truth is not. The truth is pure light because God is light. Amen. Now, the message from the translation called the message, it says, who out there fears God actually listens to the voice of his servant? For anyone out there who doesn't know where you're going, anyone groping in the dark, here's what, trust in God. Lean on your God. But if all you're after is making trouble, playing with fire, go ahead and see where it gets you. Set your fires, stir up people, blow on the flames, but don't expect me to just stand there and watch. I'll hold your feet to those flames. And from the voice. But if you try to go it alone, the light by which you go is your own consuming fire, and the torches you light will be your undoing. The elect of God, however, loves the vindicated word of God for their season. They love the light. And that is what we find in Ephesians 4:15. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God, who is love, is reflected in his children in love. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do you purify your soul in obeying the truth? In other words, as you look at the truth, you measure your soul to the truth, and you make the adjustments in your own life. The Bible says this, my soul is doing this, I'm going to do what the Bible says. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What's the word unfeigned mean? It means unpretentious, no put-ons. What the brethren see in you is real, it's genuine, it's not phony, it's not plastic, it's not made up. Unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Notice this last word, fervently. What does it mean to be fervent about something? Adam. Like you're hot, you know, you're on fire, right? All right. Contrast that to the children of this world who do not love the word for the season, as we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, that word unrighteousness again is unright wiseness, which means an incorrect knowing in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. How many people sit in the pews today and don't study the word? They don't read it. They don't try to find out more and more about it because they don't love it. And therefore, because they don't love it, it says that with all deceivableness of an unright wiseness or an incorrect understanding, they will perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If you love it, you want more and more of it. You want to understand as much as you can. Now, only God's Son can understand the Word, as we see in sons, plural, can understand the Word as we see in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and in knowing the truth, it shall make you free. John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of unbelief? That's what sin is. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Notice again, twins. The ones who hear the truth and come to the truth and love the truth are elect of God. The ones who hear it, but they won't receive it, they don't want it, and they won't come near it, they're not of God. Isaiah 50. It's so simple, brother and sister. I hope I'm not preaching under your, I hope I'm not making it too simple. But the Bible just so plain. You know, the attributes of a God, of God's seed, is they're drawn to the light. They love the light. They love the word. They love God. And the others, you know, they've got religion. They've got organization. They've got power trips. You know, they've got their own personal agendas. In Isaiah 15, verse 4 to 10, we read, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pull off my off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Matthew 13:11. "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Now they asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He said, "Because it's given for you to know, but it's not given for them to know. For whosoever hath," that means whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to echo, in other words, say it the same way, saying the same words, "to him shall be given more, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he echoes. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross," that's their understanding is waxed gross, "their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should have to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." The same parable given in Mark 4, verse 10. "And when he was alone, they that were about with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable, and how then will you know all parables?" I'm going to bring this parable up again at the end, because I have something to show you tonight about people when they get these spirits on them, that they won't listen to Scripture. They refuse Scripture. They refuse correction because they've got their own ideas about what it is. They see, but they don't see. Or they see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. And so they develop their own understanding of what it's all about. In Luke 8 and verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They and the rock are they which, when they do hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, which for a while they do believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's Laodicea spirit. But that on the good ground are they which, with an open and honest heart, an honest and good heart, have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, echoes not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have or to echo. Now remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? Now the other vine cannot understand the word of God, as we see in John 8:38-42. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we are not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now these men that Jesus was talking to were totally lost, but very religious. I think the hardest thing for us as Christians is to be able to know, I mean, when you do know that somebody's totally lost, it's how do you handle that? The Bible says, just let it go. Just let it alone. You can't convert. You can't, like the Bible says, you know, can you change the spots on a leopard? No, you can't change spots on a leopard. You just have to simply let it go. It's the best way you do it. When the Bible says, after two admonitions, reject as a heretic, it doesn't mean to sit and fuss and fight with them. It simply means, the word reject means to let them alone. Let them do whatever they're going to do. As Brother Vail always said, people are going to do what people are going to do. You can't change them. Now notice they cannot understand the word of God. That's what it says. This is because they are not born again, and without the Holy Ghost, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it is impossible for anyone to understand the things of God. In closing, in John 8:43-47, he says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Matthew 13:11-15. Now listen, why is it so important to understand this? Why? Because constantly the devil in every shape and form has always tried to personify himself as being an angel of light. The Pope, the most holy man. Hogwash, as Brother Val would use. The vicar of Christ, you know what vicar means? It means in the place of. Anything in the place of Christ is antichrist. And if you, knowing the scripture sets you free, so that people cannot bind your spirit and make you to follow along in their false doctrine. I'm going to show you what happens when they don't know the scripture in a little bit here. It says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. The word heart means understanding. Their understanding is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. In Mark 4 and verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Luke 8 and verse 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand that there are two vines, there are twins. And Father, help us also to know how to handle these things. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now hold on to your seats for just a moment. I'm going to show you a short video clip. This is a brother who passed away a few years ago. And this particular person believed that Brother Branham was God. And let me see if this, choose an application. I am going to have to play it Sunday because I have to change it from a FLV to a MPEG-4. Just to tell you a little bit about Brother Branham had trouble with a certain person in the church who went around telling people that he had a special revelation that Brother Branham was God. Brother Branham brought him before the church, said, Brother, if you don't go around and apologize for what you did, if you don't come to church and apologize, we're going to have to turn you out of the church. That means, as the Bible says, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul could be saved. The brother, fearing being put out, he repented before the church. Brother Branham thought it was taken care of. After he died, Brother Branham died, the man told people, because I had a good friend in Indiana who went to his house to get tapes, because this man used to make the tapes. And he saw the picture of... He pointed the picture of Brother Branham, and he said, that's my Lord. And then the brother said, well, who is that? And he pointed to the Hoffman's head of Christ, and the guy said, well, that's his servant. Now, you're going to hear a video of him being answering questions, and you'll hear it Sunday, because we'll get into a little bit more of this. But I want you to understand, right even within the message, you have people who go so far extreme. And Brother Branham told Sister Wilson when she asked him, Brother Branham, what about those people who believe and make you God? He said, they're everyone lost. And yet those people had a lot more on the ball than the denominational who tried to say Brother Branham was of the devil. Because at least they saw God in the man. What judgment they have when they come to the great throne, white throne, I don't know. That's up to God. But all I'm trying to tell you, and by doing this study, I hope that you get solidified in your understanding that not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter therein, but only they that do the will of my Father. Let's bow our heads one more time. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us as we depart. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Let's sing the song, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded